Well, it's fun to be here today because, you know, when I preach, when I get to get up and talk about Jesus and whatnot, I also like to talk about my story of my own life and share things about me. And one of the things I regularly share is that I went to Texas A&M and I'm really passionate about the school. And that leads to weird scenarios sometimes. You're ahead of me because you're already laughing. That leads to weird scenarios, like this morning where I was getting lots of texts from a lot of people, including one 5 minutes ago where somebody from this church texted and goes, "Hey, did you hear that A&M just fired its football coach?" And I responded, "Well, we're talking about thanking God in church this morning, so that feels a little appropriate." It's been a rough few years. And that's a weird thing because we're going to spend $80 million and a bunch of Aggies are like, "Thank the good Lord in heaven, we can move forward." But it is this funny thing where like there are so many times in our lives where our reaction is to thank God for what is happening. And there is a lot in the world to be thankful for, right? Like we are in a season of thankfulness. That's why we're doing a series on this. And today, specifically, we do want to talk about what it means for us to say thank God or give thanks to God. Because it is a massive part of the entire Christian story. In fact, in scripture, it mentions thankfulness and gratitude and giving thanks to God 150 times throughout the Bible, over 150 times. So clearly, like, it's an important part of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And it's easy to kind of look at that and go, "Well, yeah, sure, because, like, there's a lot of things that we've been blessed with in our lives. We have health, we're, you know, we got homes, good kids, blah, blah, blah," all, naming all the things. But the reality is despite the fact that we can name all the things that we ought to be thankful for, understanding why is just as critical. And because while this part is not in scripture, it is a legitimate understanding, a legitimate fact that those individuals in the world who are more thankful, who express gratitude more often, have greater overall health. From a mental standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, from a physical standpoint, those who are more thankful, they have greater or they have less anxiety. They have less episodes of depression. They have greater optimism for the world. They have lower blood pressure. They have lower risk of heart disease. They have lower instances of chronic pain. It is literally more healthy for us to be thankful than not. And what's really interesting, that was a study that was done by the Mayo Clinic. So, you know, it's like legit. But beyond that, there have been some interesting studies that have been more recently done that are specifically looking about what it means to be thankful to God and how that compares to the numbers of just thankfulness in general. And what researchers have found is that those people who are more thankful first and foremost to God than to others, that overall health metrics, things like anxiety, depression, chronic pain, heart disease, mood, sleep patterns, et cetera, diet, exercise, all of that is even greater when we start with a thankfulness for God. Because what ends up happening is when we first are thankful to God, it ends up trickling down into our thankfulness to everybody else around us. And so it is like unbelievably, abundantly clear that it is better for us to be thankful than to not be thankful. If this was like a pill or a medicine of some kind, there would be like commercials everywhere and we would all be buying it. And instead, it is something that we can just do out of spiritual habit, spiritual practice. The question for us, though, is how do we do it? And when do we do it? Because most people are going to buy into the why really quickly. Most people want to be a thankful, gracious person. Where the rubber meets the road is how we do it and when we do it. And to start with the how, we're going to look at scripture because, like I said, 150 times. But one of the most impactful comes from Psalm 100, where it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. How do we give thanks to God? How do we give thanks to anybody, really? It bluntly starts with us communicating with them, talking to them. Because it's really hard to express genuine gratitude if we're not willing and able to do it. And this is oftentimes where people kind of allow that first speed bump to get in front, right? Where we've all likely heard somebody say, I'm just not good at saying thank you. I'm just not good at like having that interaction. I feel awkward. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And you look at David, who would have written this psalm, and his way of doing it was to just openly name who God is, what God has done, and then say, because of all of that, we give you thanks. But it does start with just a willingness to name it, to say it out loud. I talked about some studies earlier. Another really interesting study comes from the fact that Pew Research study came out that said that of those people who identify as Christians, 90% of us have prayed at least one time in the last 30 days. So of those people who are Christian, over a 30-day span, on average, will pray at least one time, if not more. 90% of Christians do that. So the idea of that is that we are already in the habit of talking to God, hopefully. The question for us then is are we doing it in the best possible way? Because oftentimes what ends up happening is we go to God, but not out of a posture of thankfulness. We go to God out of a posture of, hey, will you give me what I want? Because that would be super awesome. There's a great episode of Simpsons, by the way, where Homer learns the power of prayer. But he uses it to do things like find the remote control. By the end of it, he ends up owning the church because he prayed to God for a new home. And then he got the church. It was a whole weird thing because it's Simpsons. But as funny and weird as that is, that's most of the time how we do it. We're running late. We get in the car and we're like, all right, God, if you could just give me a couple of green lights today, that would be really good. As if it's God's fault that we hit the snooze too many times. And when we look at that, when we look at the fact that we are, that's our natural posture, is to just go to God and be like, hey, give me X, Y, Z. I don't say that out of any sort of admonition or anything like that. It just is the reality. It's our natural state. We are, naturally speaking, beings who care more about ourselves before anybody else. And that is actually why thankfulness is hard, because we spend all that time thinking about how we're coming across. We're thinking about are they going to say anything nice back to us? We're thinking about ourselves in a moment where the idea or the perspective ought to be, what about this other person? And again, it is a natural thing. It is like breathing. Every human being breathes. That is a fundamental thing. We come out of the womb and we start breathing for the very first time. It's why you want to hear a baby cry in the delivery room, because it means that their lungs are being used for the very first time. And you don't have to teach a baby to do that. They just do it. It's insane. But the thing about that is, as natural as that is of a baby just coming out and being able to breathe, it is baked into their core of their person. You can actually do so much more with breathing. So even though you have a natural state, you can do more. See, because in breathing, a typical human being can hold their breath underwater for 1 minute. With any level of training, a typical human being of any general overall health and fitness and et cetera, with any level of training can hold their breath underwater for about 2 straight minutes. But you can actually train your body. The world record is that a guy held his breath underwater for 20 minutes. Yeah, that's wild. I don't know what he was thinking about in all that time, but that's a lot. 20 minutes. All that is taking something that we naturally do and training how to do it in a different way, in a more fuller, richer version of it. And so even though it is a natural thing for us to care about ourselves, we can learn to take that mentality and do something that is fuller and richer as a result of it. Think of this like in terms of marriage. Like, let's say that you're going to go to your spouse and you want to offer thanks to them for amazing things that they have done. You probably should not end that statement with, "Hey, by the way, would you mind if I go do X, Y, Z, etc.?" Because that then implies, "Hey, thank you for all the wonderful things you've done. By the way, would I also be allowed to do etc.?" That then implies that the thankfulness actually was only for yourself. And so, what would it look like instead of that natural way of us giving thanks to strip out this back part and actually just say, "Hey, you know, our family would not be the family we are without you. Do you realize that you do so much and it allows each and every one of us to be a better version of ourselves? You give us all the opportunity to be successful in the world. And I just want to say thank you." It is that simple of retraining our mind in that moment to not think of ourselves and to solely think about them. And I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not. Because it is an unnatural posture for us to not focus inwardly, even for a fraction of a second. But here's the cool part, is that the when we should be giving thankfulness, specifically thanks to God, is far more often than you think it is. So you look at a guy like Paul. Paul wrote approximately like all of the New Testament, basically. He wrote all these different letters that now comprise what we describe as the New Testament. And in those, multiple of those letters were written while Paul was in prison. Because in early days of the Christian church, Christians weren't liked very much. And so Paul would go out and he would talk about Jesus, and the people would say, "We don't like you doing that," and they would throw him in prison. And then Paul, in that moment, decided to give thanks to God for being in prison, which is a wild, wild idea. But it's like the song we were singing before this, where Jireh literally means that God is enough, that God has provided enough. "So I will be content in every circumstance because my God is enough." This was the mentality of Paul. And when you have that mentality, you can actually be thankful in all circumstances. So the win is giving thanks to God in every possible instance. And actually, this is one of the things that Paul specifically talks about. See, in this, in the book of Philippians, in the fourth chapter, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." This is also sometimes translated as "give thanks to the Lord always. I say it again, give thanks. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It is interesting there that it says, "do not be anxious." And one of the ways to not be anxious is actually to demonstrate gratitude. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." So you've got a guy who's giving thanks to God and then telling people, "You should give thanks to God in all circumstances. Even me in prison, I'm doing it. And what your focus on this ought to be is that you should do what you have seen me do. You should put it into practice." And this is the idea of what it means to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And most likely what you're thinking right now is, yeah. But like, honestly, I get that. I give thanks to God in the good times. I really do. It's just I'm bad at the hard times. What I want to submit is that we're not even good in the good times. Story time. So when I was getting in the ministry, I was going through this whole process of getting ordained. In the Methodist tradition, getting ordained is a long and arduous process. And by that, I mean it is at its possible, fastest possible track. It takes at least 5.5 years. 5.5 years is the length of time it takes to get ordained in a Methodist denomination. And that is if you hit every deadline in the best possible way, and so more than likely, it actually extends out to 6 or longer. And so I was going through this whole process, and I get to the second to last step, which is this massive long interview. And by massive, I mean it is 3-hour-long interviews take place over 3 hours, all in the course of one morning. And it is not fun. And so I spent weeks of preparation, weeks of reviewing theology and notes, et cetera. I spent weeks of getting ready for this moment. I drive up there that morning. I'm nervous as all get out. I go through the whole process. I get done. Then you have to wait for about 1.5 hours while they deliberate, which is terrible because, again, what do you do for 1.5 hours when you're just like, my future's on the line? And then they finally come back. And in all this time I'm praying, I'm just like, God, please, like, please, like, this is what I know I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Be with me in this moment, et cetera, et cetera. They finally come in, they come get me, they take me to the back room and they say, congrats, you've passed, you can move to the next step. So I'm over the last big hump. And I wanted to explain all of that to kind of demonstrate like the mentality that I had where I was confused, or not confused, I was really watching whether or not my future was going to go in one direction or the other in that moment. And I'm so grateful it went in that. And so then I'm celebrating with them. I'm celebrating with some other people who were getting interviewed that day. I'm celebrating with my wife, with Arthur, all this kind of stuff. I'm calling my parents. And, you know, then I'm headed home and I leave probably 1 hour or so after I find out. And then I'm 1 hour down the road. It's about 2 hours after I find out that I finally pass and I get to do this like talking about Jesus thing for a living. And it hits me as I'm driving, I have yet to thank God, which is a humbling moment. Because he was the reason I was doing this whole thing. He's the one I was talking to in the months and weeks leading up to it, all morning praying to him. And then when the good thing happened, I thought about me. It's hard for us to give thanks to God without our eyes staying on God. I would actually argue a lot of times it's easier to do it in the bad times. Because what ends up happening in the bad times is we say to ourselves a phrase very similar to this, where we will say something to the effect of, well, there's no other options. The only thing I have left to do is pray. Just give it up to God. Which kind of implies that if there were any other options, we wouldn't be praying to God. Which also kind of implies that we're doing that as one of our options because we kind of want to control the situation. That we give thanks to God and we go to God in prayer in those really difficult moments, not even to give thanks, but to ask God to fix the problem for us. Give me the green light so I can get to work on time. Instead of actually just saying, if I am late this morning, God, there is goodness in that and I want to lift that up to you. But the thing about it is thankfulness inherently requires us to relinquish control. If we give thanks to our spouse, if we give thanks to a coworker, if we give thanks to God or a neighbor or anything, if we give thanks, we are acknowledging the fact that they have done something for us and we weren't in control. And the moment we can buy into the idea that we don't need to be in control, that we weren't designed to be in control of things, that God simply designed us to be in harmony and relationship and in love with one another and with God. The moment we buy into that and we let go of our grasp on our world and our situation and our life, that's actually when all the joy and the fullness of health and life actually enters. But it requires us letting go in order to do that. This is why we have to give thanks to God, because we have to be able to acknowledge the fact that we can't control everything here. And it's practice, exactly like Paul said. It's not an easy thing because our natural state is to hold on to everything as tightly as we can, even in the worst moments. But what might it look like for us to actually just go to God and say thank you, even if you got fired publicly on a Sunday morning? John Wesley is the guy who kind of developed kind of the Methodist framework of theology, and our theological like heritage kind of traces back to him. And he had this mentality of what it meant to give thanks to God and go to God in all circumstances, in both the good and the bad, saying God alone is enough. And he would do this by way of saying that it is in our covenant with God, our relationship with God, that we are just expected to give thanks to him at all times. And the way in which he did this, the way in which he developed as part of a practice for people to regularly participate in this, is with a thing called the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. The Wesleyan Covenant Prayer goes like this. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. The covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. A God that is glorious, a God that is blessed, a God that is in relationship with us, and we give up our lives for you. And we give thanks to you for that. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me be employed for you, let me be laid aside for you, let me be exalted for you, brought low for you. This is what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. Letting go of control. I don't know what tomorrow brings for any one of us. Nobody does. It's an old, you know, colloquial idiom. But what I do know is that God is with us. What I do know is that we can give thanks to God in every circumstance. What I do know is that when we do that, we have the life that Paul had. When we do that, we have a fuller, healthier version of life. When we do that, things like income, things like job loss, things like relationships, things like suffering have no bearing on our joy, because our joy is tied to the simple practice of giving thanks to God. It's how, in fact, actually, you get a guy like Jesus who, on the night in which he was betrayed, the night in which he knew he was going to be put to death, the night in which he knew that it was all going to end for him, he gathered his disciples, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup. He gave thanks to God, poured it out for his disciples, and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this as often as you do in remembrance of me." On the night in which Jesus would die, he gave thanks to God. And it's how he was able to walk the path that he walked. It's how he had life. Will you pray with me? Glorious and blessed God, I ask that you pour out your spirit upon these people here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. By your spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until you come in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, and let us give thanks to you in all circumstances, for you are enough. This bread, this juice, they are enough. Let us find life in that. Let us release control so that we might experience what you have given us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.